Chapter 1. The body lay in the parking lot of the Palace of Fine Arts. The circle and five-pointed star carved on his chest illuminated blue, then red in the flashing lights of the two patrol cars parked at the edge of the grass. San Francisco fog crept from the shadows and curled around the corners of the buildings. The columns leaned over the group of people as though listening. Four people stood talking in the pool of light. Two of them wore uniforms, two suits. Sam Barton took his FBI ID folder from his jacket pocket as he walked toward the sound of voices, voices that burst in short rhythms, the cadence of questions, not conversations. The phone call that dragged him into the pre-dawn fog cut short the hope that he had left the brutal world of serial killers behind him. They said they needed someone who knew about rituals, and they didn't care that he came to San Francisco to get away. Sam walked toward the grass in front of the exploratorium. He saw one of the suits, a tall, solidly built man, gesture to the uniformed woman. The big detective's partner, shorter but broader, said something, then walked toward the body. "Who called it in?" Sam heard the taller detective ask. "A woman jogging by," the uniformed woman answered. "I have no idea what she was doing out at this time. All by herself, for Christ's sake." "You do what you have to do, I guess," the shorter detective called back over his shoulder. "Any idea on the body?" "Good morning, detectives," Sam said before the woman could answer. "Who the hell are you?" the taller detective asked, putting his hand on his gun. Sam flipped open his ID holder. Experience told him that it was better to have his credentials ready. "Special Agent Sam Barton. I got a call that you might need me." "Morton," the detective answered and pointed to his partner. "This is Kang. Who called you?"
"My section chief."
Sam looked at the uniformed woman.
"You were the first on the scene?"
"Yes." She looked at Morton, and when he did not make the introduction, she said, "Dixon," holding out her hand to shake Sam's. "My partner here is Kelly."
"Great. Now that the social niceties are done," Morton snapped, "why did they call you in?"
"It looks like your partner has found something," Sam spoke to Officer Dixon, not biting on the aggression from Detective Morton.
"What have you got there?"
Officer Kelly walked over to them, a business card held in his gloved fingertips. He looked at Detective Morton, then stopped and waited. The cop stepped between Sam and Kelly. "I'm the detective on the site. Until that changes, I'll take charge." Sam chose not to argue. He was used to the local cops acting like dogs pissing to mark their territory.
"Business card," Kelly said as he handed it to Morton.
The detective pulled an evidence bag out of his pocket. It was on the grass. "It's for Felicity Armstrong, business, called Help on Demand." Detective Kang looked at the body.
"That's not a woman. Let's hope Ms. Armstrong is alive and helpful."
Sam walked to the body. He sensed Morton step just behind him, still protecting what he thought was his territory.
"This is why they called me." Sam pointed to the naked dead man.
"Yeah, I figured it wasn't just because some guy got killed in the night." Morton looked down at the chest of the victim. The circle was cut deep into the flesh, the points of the star piercing the edge. Sam rubbed his hand through his wavy, dark brown hair. This was going to be a bad day. Felicity Armstrong heard voices in the small lobby of Help on Demand. She stepped out of her office to join the three people chatting at a desk.
"I think I'm going to be the final bidder on the tickets. This is my last chance.
Man, you two in Hawaii at Christmas?"
Isaac sighed. Felicity grinned at his enthusiasm. At 28, he still got enjoyment from teenage activities like concerts. Since she lost her family, she had found friendships with her staff. Isaac was more a little brother than an employee.
"Isaac, that's great. I wish I could have my Christmas plans made by September." Felicity said.
Will you need time off?
Yes. Well, I was going to talk to you about that. Isaac gave her a huge grin. I'm going to try to get a flight late on Friday night and then come home on Sunday, but I might need to leave early on Friday.
Okay, let me know as soon as possible. She waited, but Isaac didn't respond.
We'll figure something out with the schedule.
Yes, boss.
Isaac gave her his sweet and innocent smile.
Okay, Felicity said. I guess we should get back to work.
Me included.
Yes, O high and exalted mistress. Isaac sighed and gave a dramatic roll of his eyes.
Ryan and Amanda were going to do the filing. Why don't we go over the job list for next week?
Sure, let's do that. It's better than paperwork, Felicity said.
She pushed her auburn curls back behind her ears and led Isaac into her office. A half hour later, Felicity and Isaac were finished making the list of staff to call for the assignments. They heard feet banging up the stairs.
Wow, they aren't afraid to let us know they're coming, Isaac said, getting up to greet whoever was about to come in the door.
Felicity listened to the conversation as she cleared the mess of paper on her desk.
Is Felicity Armstrong here?
By the strong authority to the voice, the man was not looking for a job. Or if he was, his attitude needed adjusting.
May I ask who would like to see her?
Isaac carefully did not answer the specific question. Felicity wondered why he was being so coy.
Yes, you may, the voice answered. Detectives Morton and Kang, SFPD.
Okay, Isaac said. Yes, she's here. He pressed the intercom and called her to the front.
What can I do for you, detectives?
Felicity glanced at the identification they still held out.
Is there somewhere we can speak in private?
Detective Morton looked at Isaac, who was sitting forward in his chair, obviously all ears. She pointed to the open door of her office, and the two detectives motioned for her to go ahead of them. As soon as the door closed, Detective Morton leaned against it.
Have a seat, Detective Kang said, placing a large white envelope on her desk.
Felicity sat in her chair. Her eyes seemed to be stuck on the envelope. Coldness filled her stomach.
I would like you to look at some pictures and tell me if you recognize the man in them.
The pictures were large, black and white, matte finished. The lighting used in the photography made the details sharp and lifeless. A man's face, eyes closed, filled the center of the photo.
Lord and lady, she whispered. He looks dead.
Yes. Detective Morton moved away from the door and punched his finger into the center of the picture. Dead people tend to look that way. Do you know him? Felicity took a deep breath and looked more closely at the picture. She wanted to be sure of her answer. The man's stillness made it difficult for her to imagine him in life. She tried to imagine the face showing laughter or anger, some emotion that would trigger a memory. All she saw was absence.
I'm sorry, she said, pushing the photo toward the detectives. I haven't seen a body before, so I don't really know how different people look when they're dead. I'm pretty sure I don't know him, though.
The two detectives looked at each other and then turned back to her.
We found your business card near the body, Detective Kang said.
Felicity realized they were trying to keep her on edge by snapping sentences at her. The realization did not do anything to reduce their success.
Are you sure he's not a client?
She picked up the pictures again. Two different angles of the same subject.
I can't be totally sure. I don't meet all my clients. I can tell you it's not one of my temps, though.
Do you know all your temps? Morton pulled the pictures out of her hand.
Yes, she said, keeping firm control over her rising anger. I meet everyone I hire. We are fairly small, so I still know all the employees.
Clients are different. I have a lot of clients. They give out my business cards because they like my service. That means I don't know everyone who has my card in their pocket.
Morton slid the pictures back in the envelope.
Okay, thank you for your time. There's one more thing before we go.
Detective Kang said.
Where were you last night?
She realized that they thought she was connected to the murder. I worked here until about 8. I walked home. On the way, I stopped to get takeout sushi. I got home just before 9, ate dinner, watched television, and went to bed. Morton made notes in a small notebook.
Can anyone confirm this?
They might remember me at the restaurant. It's called Sushimi. Morton made another note, then seemed to wait for more. My downstairs neighbor was going out as I got home. I think that's it.
Your address, please.
Am I a suspect? Should I be contacting a lawyer?
You are not a suspect, Detective Morton said. We'll check with your neighbor and the restaurant, but you probably don't need to worry about a lawyer.
Probably?
Felicity knew the police could lie about her being a suspect, and this seemed too easy.
Why don't I need to worry?
You aren't a suspect, which should be enough, Morton said.
Felicity gave them her address and tried not to think about what the pictures hid. Do you have any idea who he might be?
No, Detective Morton answered, snapping the notebook closed and looking up at Felicity.
If we need anything, we'll be in touch.
You aren't planning any trips outside the city, are you?
Felicity shook her head. You can find me here most of the time.